during the early portion of the preseason schedule. We have seen two more high-profile players with anthem protests, Marshawn Lynch now of the Oakland Raiders and Michael Bennett of the Seattle Seahawks. And it really is amazing to me when you have a situation like we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the horrid nature of what happened there, and then the anthem protests that people have gotten so upset about, that NFL fans have gotten so upset about. More letters than John Mara's ever received, and I'll cancel my season tickets if you sign this guy who protested something, and how dare you do this? And then you get that scene down there. I mean, how many NFL fans are canceling their life subscriptions now because of what's going on? How many of those guys, you don't hear nearly as much of a complaint factory as you do when it comes to sports and these guys. Now, I know we live in a sports world. I totally understand that. But one of the points that you brought up is something that I was in my head over the weekend was, you know, when you see some of these atrocities that are out there, that these guys are protesting, are you as angry when that stuff goes on as you are when these guys are sitting during the national anthem? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you really got to check yourself. What is harmful and what is not?
It's interesting. The uproar, some socks and a T-shirt will cause, but yet you don't hear any of these owners, you don't hear any of these GMs who are will not even entertain bringing in a guy who has brought attention to social injustice and racial inequality. Where are they now? They're hiding behind their desks. I was reading on CBS Sports.com, this writer, Kevin Boylan, B-O-I-L-A-N-D, I believe is how you spell his last name. And he talked about Marshawn Lynch sitting down in the Kaepernick protest and the perceived, he used the word perceived racial inequality and perceived social injustice. Perceived, really? Jackass, did you see what went on in Charlottesville? Where have you been? Did you not see Tamir Rice? Did you not see Trayvon Martin? Perceived? It's not perceived. It's part of our history. It's part of the fabric of America. It's what we have been about at certain times in this life of this country, and it's still ongoing. It's nothing perceived. This is happening in real time. And yes, if we would protest as much about things that occurred this past weekend in Charlottesville as we do about a damn T-shirt, about some socks, about a quarterback kneeling, about Michael Bennett sitting, about Marshawn Lynch sitting, if you had that same fervor about what's actually going on and what these guys are protesting, maybe we'd be in a better place in this world. But you don't see that. It's subjective. And you got writers out there saying it's perceived. It's not perceived. We're living it. I've felt it, the sting of it. We're living it. It's not no perceive. And if we don't stop just kicking the can down the road, if we don't stop just trying to get past a moment here and there and not address the damn situation, we will continue to deal with it forever. It's not going to go anywhere because people keep making excuses. And you got a damn president come out and can't even call these damn terrorists what they are. They're thugs. They're terrorists. That's what they are. And you want to sit out there and you're trying to preserve the life of the Confederacy. They shouldn't take down this statue of Robert E. Lee. They shouldn't take down this statue of this Confederate thug terrorist. You're trying to preserve that for what? They're damn terrorists. And now, on top of that, you got all these states who have... There's so many states, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, all these states out there have trying to put forth laws that protect those who use their cars to run over protesters. Yet, you look across the pond and all these terrorists have used their vehicles to kill people in France, in Germany, and elsewhere. Yet, you decry that. But you want to protect those here in America who would use their vehicles in the same manner. You don't call them terrorists. You want to put laws on the books that protect them. Give me a damn break.
I think that a reason why so many sports fans get upset when they see politics bleed into sports is because they believe that athletes are there to do one thing, that's to entertain them. This is their fun. This is their escape. And if you dare step out of line, then you're going to hear it from us. because you're not worth anything other than to make my team win, to make my fantasy team win, and I don't want to hear it. Because I could turn on the news if I want to turn on the news, but I turned on sports because I want to watch sports. And how dare you have any sort of opinion on anything? You just got to throw the stupid football. That's it. That's all you're worth. And I think that's why people get so angry when they see these things. And then this other stuff, that's always going to be there. But my escape is over here. And don't bring that. Don't bring that over here ruin it.
We want an escape. We need a respite from our daily lives. I get that. But sports intersects with life. And Michael Bennett or Marshawn Lynch, they get pulled over. Are they Michael Bennett, the football player, or are they just Michael Bennett, the black dude driving and just got pulled over? Is it Marshawn Lynch, the black dude that just got pulled over? They're not an athlete at that point. They have to deal in the real world. They leave their job as a football player. They have real-life consequences they are dealing with. And so if they want to shine a light on what's going on, more power to them. And it's been happening. Sports has always been the catalyst for movement in this country, and it will continue to be that. They have a huge platform, and I'm glad they're using it.
I hope there was at least a couple of people that, instead of being outraged by Lynch and Bennett in the most recent of the anthem protests because of what happened, said, you know what, it's okay. I get it. Do what you want. I mean, sitting down, kneeling down, as opposed to organized neo-Nazi rallies. I mean, if you want to sit down and call attention to an issue, and maybe I think that it's disrespectful, maybe I think it's not going to work, but you know what? Go ahead, because this what's going on right now is just... It's an atrocity.
Well, they don't believe the protest is real. And I don't think what happened in Charlottesville is going to change their mind. They don't believe what Kaepernick was protesting. They don't believe what Bennett, what Lynch is protesting is real. It's as simple as that. Either you believe what they're talking about is going on or you don't. And you can have videotapes out there, you know what, and they still won't believe it. Because that black life is not valued like others. It's simple as that. And you can deny all you want, but that's the feeling of a lot of people in this country. And you saw it manifest itself there in Charlottesville. You got terrorist thugs out trying to preserve the legacy of terrorist thugs.
And there's a couple of things that I was worried about with this past election. And I know people get upset when we talk politics and stuff, but I don't care. So the three things that I was upset about going into this was not, and this is no revisionist history, but one was the climate change and how that wasn't going to, we're going to take a step backwards mm-hmm. in that, and that seems to be occurring. The other was a greater threat of nuclear war. That seems to be happening. And the other was giving a voice to the ignorant racists because they believed, whether right or wrong, but they believed that the election made them right, that somehow they could come out now from underneath the ground because there is now a guy in the White House who understands them, which I don't believe is true, but they believe is true. And that is also now happening.
Well, you have a ton of evidence after what occurred this past weekend to prove your theory. And they came out and said, well, the president didn't come out and denounce us. He said there was blame on many sides, which is a bunch of bull. Not blame on any. If I push back against hate, you're going to blame me? I'm out here standing up for freedom for all folks, and now it's my fault that this what happened there in Charlottesville? Really? There's only one side to blame in all of this, and they those of the white nationalist movement came out and said, well, the president didn't condemn us. He said it was blame to go around and yada, yada, yada. So clearly, this is his base, and that's why he didn't come out and denounce them and call them what they are, terrorist thugs.
There was a T-shirt I saw, and since people talked about, you know, Kaepernick's T-shirt so much, I'll talk about this one T-shirt as well. But it said, you know, Obama called us this, Hillary called us deplorables, Trump calls us Americans. I mean, that just shows you the mentality that they have. I mean, it was almost like a coast. When he got elected, there's a lot of these mm-hmm. neo-Nazi white freaks yeah. that believed that was a cosign from the country on their behavior.
Right.
And I saw it during the time of the election. I was fearful that it would continue. And now they feel like, hey, I can show my face. And I love how a lot of the people at the rally now have been identified, because it's 2017. You can see their faces.
Yeah.
And then they get upset when their photo goes viral. Right? Like, oh, this is not good that my face is now all over it. But what'd you think, you dumb
right turd? And it's interesting. These are the same cats that are going to these baseball games. These are the same ones that are going to the football games, and they're cheering for those black players on those fields. As long as that black player is helping my team win, I'm cool with them. But don't bring them home. I don't want to associate with them in any other atmosphere other than on that playing field. So that's reality. And until we come to terms with that, until the bigots come to terms with that, we're going to be stuck in this place. And this is a learned behavior. You are taught this. You learn how to look down when people don't look like you. That you don't come out of the womb thinking that way. Hate is taught. And it's unfortunate that we're still dealing with this situation, but we will continue to deal with it until people want to address it. And they don't want to address it, because it makes them uncomfortable. Well, damn it, you need to be uncomfortable.
And what's even more discouraging, I think, is that now more than ever, it's being addressed. And I think that it is addressed a lot of the times in a mature way. But none of that's going to get any press. And you're still always going to have people like we saw at that rally. There's always going to be a faction of those people.
There's not going to be 100% cleansing. I'm with you. But if the majority, as we've discussed here, whether it's in your own little circles, if you tell someone who says something that's racist, that's wrong, if you point it out and disassociate with that person, that will go a long way with shedding this problem. I mean, that's where it has to start, at the grassroots level, like everything in your community, in your household. That's where it starts. No, grandpa, that's wrong. No, mama, dad, that's wrong. Sister, brother, friend, what have you. That is wrong. You shouldn't think that way. That's where it starts, at the grassroots level. I've shared with you my experiences on this particular subject. And it has to start there. It has to start with me and you, everyone around here, pointing it out to those who are still promulgating this hateful behavior.
You have to try to understand one another a little bit better. I mean, that's what I think that it comes down to. And the hate that some people have, I just wonder what happened to those folks that made them that hateful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure as a whole, as a group, it's not as bad as what's happened to the people that you hate.
Yeah.
Well, so why are you so angry? Can you tell me why?
Yeah.
What, because there's people that look different that are infiltrating your town? Is that why you're that angry? Well, you better check yourself. You better, at that point, maybe take a long look in the mirror and then not get into this organized group thought either, because that can be very dangerous.
Well, that's it. It's a group think, and looking down on others makes you feel better about your existence. Well, that's a sorry existence that you're living, if that's the case. Because at the end of the day, I would think we all want the same thing. Whether you're black, white, you're purple, brown, whatever color, you all want the same thing. You want a safe environment in which to live in. You want a job. You want to be able to feed your family. That's it. We all want the same damn thing. And yeah, there's some crazy folks out there that will try to get in the way of that. But essentially, we all want the same thing.
Why is Kaepernick still the guy that seems to be disliked more than anybody else who stood up for something? For example, you know, Marshawn Lynch, you know, we've talked about it, but I mean, I haven't, at least judging by Twitter reaction, media reaction, you know, since this has happened, I don't hear nearly as much. I mean, Michael Bennett's been an outspoken guy. I haven't heard nearly as much about that. I mean, is it because, you know, Kaepernick was the first to do it? Is it because, you know, Marshawn Lynch likes Skittles and Colin Kaepernick has an afro? Like, what is it?
I think you have to point to the quarterback position. That was that last hurdle to cross for black players, the quarterback position. You look at that, and yeah, there were some that came along. Joe Gillum there in Pittsburgh, James Harris from the Rams when I was growing up. But that was that last position. That's a position of strength. That's what the whole game surrounds that position, the quarterback position. So that's essentially the leader of the team. And so I think because Kaepernick played that position and he's looked upon as the guy, the catalyst, he's the leader. And so if you got someone sitting in that position who's protesting, I think it's definitely going to garner more attention than someone playing a different position.
I was thinking of Mikey B over the weekend, too, because of him and Charlottesville and all the time he spent there and how painful that must have been for you to watch because you have such a relationship and a positive relationship with that city. So you spent years there after college working at a radio station there, and you always talk about how much fun you had there. What was it like for you watching that?
Really depressing. Yeah. It was really depressing. I spent 6 years there. It's where I met my wife. It's one of my favorite places in the world. Mm-hmm. And to see that, it was heartbreaking.
And also, I think a lot of people who are ignorant and don't look into this now associate that city with that behavior where it couldn't be more different.
Exactly the opposite. Completely opposite.
I was there. I went there last summer to interview Bronco Mendenhall, the new head coach at the time there at Virginia, and had a great time. Beautiful city. Everyone was nice, from the yoga studio I went to the restaurants Mikey B suggested that I go to, and I had an Uber driver drive me around and Monticello and all that. And I mean, I had a great time. Of course, you know, that was just a snapshot. I was there 2 or 3 days, and a beautiful place, gorgeous. And of course, a ton of history there. And that was the furthest thing from my mind, from the plane ride there and to everything else I experienced.
So when you were watching the videos and looking at the pictures, you were recognizing certain areas?
Oh, yeah, that's such a small city. I mean, that's the downtown, and it's not big. So,
right.
It's got to be jarring. It really does. If you're from there or you're familiar with it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Plenty more to come. Keep it right here.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS is the number to join the show. We'll take a couple of calls, but Chris Lopresti is back. He's got another sports update. What's going on, Chris?
All right, guys. After a thrilling win Friday night, the arrow was pointing up for the Yankees' chance to close ground on the Red Sox atop the AL East, but they lost Saturday, and then last night blew the rubber game in the ninth as 20-year-old rookie Rafael Devers took closer Aroldis Chapman deep to tie the game. That was followed by Andrew Benintendi's go-ahead RBI single in the 10th. Sox 3, Yankees 2. Boston now a season-high 5.5 games clear of the Yanks for manager John Farrell.
It is big. We've had our troubles against New York so far this year. Through the first 10, you know, we're only 3-7, and to win a couple here after dropping a tough game Friday night says a lot about our guys, says a lot about our resolve.
How about the Devers home run? Only the second allowed by Chapman to a lefty batter in his 8-year career. On the flip side, Aaron Judge continues to struggle for the Yanks. 1-for-4, 3 strikeouts, his batting average slipping below .290 for the first time since April 28th. Meantime, day-night doubleheader between the Nationals and the Giants in D.C. San Francisco took the opener 4-2. The Nats bounced back at the nightcap, winning 6-2 in 11 innings on a Howie Kendrick walk-off grand slam. They also got some decent news on Bryce Harper. No structural damage in that left knee after slipping on a wet first base Saturday. Does have a bad bone bruise that lands him on the disabled list. He's hoping to be back by the end of the regular season. Elsewhere, the Dodgers won again.
And there's a fly ball to right, and it's a 3-run home run for Justin Turner. Right on cue. Dodgers 3, San Diego 2.
Charlie Steiner, Dodgers Radio Network. First of 2 long balls on the day for Turner, number 16 and 17. He leads the National League with a .346 batting average. Dodgers beat the Padres 6-4. You also had Giancarlo Stanton sending yet another baseball into orbit.
In the air, deep to right, toward the corner. Gonzalez back at the wall. 42! Giancarlo Stanton has tied the Marlins' single-season home run record.
Glenn Geffner, Marlins Radio Network, also number 250 of Stanton's career. He's homered in four straight games. Marlins erased the Rockies 5-3. Other notables, Cubs beat the Diamondbacks 7-2. The Angels double up the Mariners 4-2. Anaheim has won six in a row to take over the second AL wildcard spot. He also had the Indians topping the Rays 4-3 behind Corey Kluber, who went seven innings for his 11th win. Now time to bring you some intense golf play-by-play from Quail Hollow.
Decent lie in the intermediate cutter off. Pops it out onto the green, tracking toward the hole. This is turning left to right, down toward the hole. Has a chance and catches the left lip. It goes. That's a huge fist bump from Justin Thomas. Looks at the gallery. A low fly with Jimmy Johnson. Justin Thomas has gotten it to 8 under par.
A chip in on 13 and a fired up John Magines had the call, courtesy of Westwood One Sports. Fourth birdie and a 7-hole stretch for Thomas. He would tack on another one on the 17th. Finished off a 2-stroke win at the PGA Championship. First major title of his career, his fourth tour victory of the season. Patrick Reed, Louis Oosthuizen, Francesco Molinari finished in a three-way tie for second place. College football, Florida suspending seven players for its season opener against Michigan, including their top offensive playmaker, wide receiver Antonio Callaway. Those players reportedly making improper charges on their student ID cards at the school bookstore, turning around selling those items for some cash.
The hustle keeps going for everybody except for the players.
Yeah. I think it's a smart move. Why not?
Sure. Whatever works.
Yeah. I mean, you got caught and you're suspended. That's not smart.
Only one game.
Yeah.
They'll live.
Yeah. I mean, it depends how much money you made. Yeah, exactly. If it was like we're talking about half a season, then probably not.
How good is Florida supposed to be this year?
They're going to be good. They lost a safety, Marcel Harris, right after I interviewed him.
Yeah,
he goes down with an Achilles.
You blame me for killing people.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't talk about that one.
I had a good time with him. I'm talking about it now. I'm acknowledging it. I had a good time with him there in Birmingham. This should be pretty good. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Malik Zaire, how that changes their offense, or even if he wins the job coming over from Notre Dame.
But that opener, like
that's going to be difficult.
Michigan's favorite.
Michigan has lost so many guys on the defensive side of the ball. I know they've recruited well. They have the kid from up here, Rashawn Gary. Don't shake his hand because your hand would be much, much smaller if he shake. You're talking about a grip. But other than him, you know, they got to replace a whole bunch of people. So I thought it would be a good game, but Florida would win. I'm not so sure now.
Where do you stand on neo-Nazis, Chris?
I mean, do I really have to answer that question?
Well, we cool, dog. Yeah, we get that.
Look, man, it's really
all right. Get out of
it's
here.
Hard to, it's hard to believe what's occurring in this country these days.
Well, they said they want to take
crazy.
Us back. They're taking us back.
I don't know. It's scary stuff.
We love freedom.
I hope my son makes it to see 10 years old at this point. Jeez,
don't teach him hate, okay?
I will not.
All right.
If he does, he'll see a boiling ocean, which will be kind of cool for a little bit. They can put it up on Instagram. All right, let's go to Keith in Houston, who's on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, now, hold on, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What do you got for us?
Awesome, man. B. Jones is fellow Longhorn here, man.
Hook 'em, baby.
I've always admired you. Yes, sir. I've always admired you, so appreciate all that you do.
Thank you.
You guys sound great together as a team. Hey, real quick, man. I wanted to get to my son, my oldest son. We just took him back to college. He's returning for his sophomore year at he plays football up at Mary Hardin Baylor. They just won a Division III national championship last year. And so we were taking him back this past weekend, Saturday, moving him in. He's moving off campus. We moved him to a fairly new, they're building a new apartment complex. We're putting him in there, and he's reporting for football. And we run into a family, or run into a couple, let's just put it that way. As we're moving in, we have our hands full of stuff, and my youngest son is with us, and so my wife, my youngest son, and my oldest son, we're all trying to move him into the apartments, and we go to speak, and all of us have a handful of stuff. And the gentleman of this couple says to us, you guys look like you're all up to no good. I immediately respond back with, it's called moving. We're moving in. And to which they still didn't reply back to, or exchange a greeting of any sort. My wife obviously was extremely nervous and rightfully so, and extremely livid at the fact that, okay, we're putting our son down. We're putting our son in a good place, right? And so and this was all going on at the time that obviously we couldn't follow what was happening other than what was getting updates on our phones about what was happening in Virginia. And so we were, and obviously that night we sat down and we talked with the boys. And Brian, to your point, I bring all that up to your point about these players that are kneeling. At the end of the day, when they're pulled over, it's not a matter of, or in any situation, when they're not in uniform, they're just another guy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're not given the benefit of the doubt. And really what's sad to me is in 2017, I'm having to have this discussion. And it's not a matter of having a, it's sad that we're having a discussion. It's just, it's sad that I have grown adults to literally make comments, overt comments in front of my kids, to say things to make them more conscientious about their skin, about their skin color. And the fact that they're moving into, into an apartment, his first apartment, and he's thinking about these things, and we've got a million things to think about, right?
Right.
So my whole point to this is that, and you guys mentioned it, you know, these are conversations that we have to have. But more importantly, I'll be frank with you, man, I'm just trying to, and this is really what's hurting me, because I fought for this country for 10 years. I served in our military. I've traveled all over the world. No one can tell me more about that flag and about what it stands for. But I'll tell you, man, what's hurting me today is the fact that I'm having to sit down in my wife and I are worried about our son that we just dropped off at a brand new dorm or a brand new apartment complex. He's playing ball. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure if he's in a safe place.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that to me, it really cuts at my core, and I feel bad that we're still having, and parents aren't having these discussions with their kids about treating people right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's it. And you know, we had a situation here, and Keith, thanks for the call. And as I said earlier, all anybody wants is a safe environment in which to raise your family, a safe environment. If you don't have a family, just a safe environment for you. You want to have a good job and go about your business. We all should just want that. And you had a mayor here, Mayor Bill de Blasio, had this conversation with his son, black young man, and people were in an uproar at the fact that he told his son that the rules of engagement for you when you're stopped by law enforcement, and this is not denigrating all law enforcement, but yes, there are some bad cops out there. The majority of them are good. Did you hear me? The majority of them are good, but there are bad ones as well. And the mayor had to have a conversation with his son about the rules of engagement for him because of his black skin. Yes, those conversations go on. Yes, things happen to people of color when you're dealing with law enforcement. Unfortunately, I've got tails. I have family members that have tails. And the fact that the mayor had to have that conversation with his son had people in a tizzy as if he was denigrating all the police. No, he wasn't. He was being real. Keith is having to have a real conversation with his kids now because of this incident. This is going on. We're not making this up. Who would want to make this up? Who would want to deal with this? No one. I don't want to deal with this. I'm not preoccupied with race, but I'm impacted by it. I don't want to have to deal with it. I want to wake up. I want to go to work. I want to be safe. I want to do this. I want to have fun. I want to have a damn good time. That's it. It's what I want. I don't have to worry about situations because of the color of my skin.
So Keith's family didn't steal that stuff, right?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I got a little lost,
Keith,
there.
Take the boxes back, man. We'll let you go this time.
Next time, carry a receipt, Keith, and then just show them. And then that'll be, the whole thing will be over.
We purchased this.
No,
how
not,
sad is that?
I know. No, not to make light of it, obviously.
How sick is that? You can't make this stuff up, man. And we keep deny. Everyone, they won't cover their eyes. Nothing to see here. It's happening.
Coming up next, Bieber, Bryce, and a wet bag.
Tiki and Tierney have Guns N' Roses tickets. Listen weekdays between 3 and 6 Eastern for your chance to win. Exclusively on CBS Sports Radio.
Somehow, Justin Bieber sees an Instagram post from a gym in some town in Georgia.
Savannah.
That's near. No, but it's not. It's another town.
Oh, okay.
It's near Savannah. It's Broughton or Broughton or I don't know.
They make them like this. I'm going.
Well, or is that the name of the gym? I don't know. Whatever. It's close to Savannah if it's not Savannah. And he sees this Instagram post. They only have like 70 followers. So somehow Justin Bieber or somebody in his crew, which could be a possibility here too, someone in his crew was doing this and not him, but who knows, sees this Instagram post of this young lady who works at the gym, and she's promoting some sort of energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, there is a direct message from the official Justin Bieber Instagram account that says, "Who is that girl?" Heart in your latest post. So, of course, the gym automatically takes a screenshot of this and puts it up on Twitter, and the thing goes viral, and then everybody's screaming and yelling about it. And the girl gets all this attention and pictures of her all over the internet. And what I want to know is, why can't the gym just answer them? Can you just answer them?
Right.
And just say, this is the girl. How about that? And just do it discreetly.
They want to do a little 5 minutes of fame, man.
And do you think that people are actually going to join this gym because Justin Bieber wanted to have relations with a girl who worked there? Did you need to put it out there for promotional purposes?
And then she act like it was a damn national crisis. I had to go talk to my mom and boyfriend about this. What? Nothing to talk about?
Yeah, that boyfriend, he should go take a walk. Get out of here.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, but get out of here. Let Justin Bieber have it.
Why? No, man. Nice lips, girl.
She's young, isn't she?
20?
She's got to be. She's got, looks 22? Young.
Yeah. 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely looks young.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is something Gober.
Jessica.
Jessica Gober.
From Savannah.
The Gober family.
Savannah, Georgia. Hello, Savannah.
Why does everybody, you can't be a celebrity and get into a direct message thing these days.
No,
it's going to be out there.
You're going to put it out there, yep.
You can't do it.
That's what you have to do right there.
Even
that's
low-level celebrities like you. You can't, don't do it, man.
I don't DM.
You don't DM.
No. Heck no.
Really?
I'd be out there. No.
You sure? It. You think that someone would run to...
No,
one of the,
I am not that important.
Deadspin or
no.
Barstool Sports or something. Brian Jones of CBS Sports slid into the DMs. Don't do it. They could.
I don't.
They could be a good story for them.
I don't.
I'm just trying to protect you here.
I don't do that stuff. No.
Snip them.
I'm sneaky.
You're just snipping them, right?
Snip
them.
Snip them. I have no idea what that is.
I believe tonight is the debut of that Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh.
Where all that stuff went down with Corinne and whatever the hell happened. So if you're interested in that, Corinne Olympios, friend of the program. I believe that airs.
Hey, Corinne.
Little plug.
Good morning. So Corinne was getting it on with this other dude, right? In the Paradise deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
And it became uncomfortable for the producers or something?
I guess, yes. I don't know. It's, I guess, a slippery slope of some sort. Mm. I haven't kept up with it. I just know that those two went home, and I guess the rest of the people continued the season. There was lawsuits and other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not laughing at the lawsuits. I'm laughing at Pete playing the drop. You going, yeah.
What's a lawsuit for? Two grown folks.
Yeah, but maybe there was something else going on. There's other information.
What?
You can read up on it if you want.
Oh, you're telling me.
There was a sexual assault question in there.
What?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Just read about it.
What
do I look like here? Harvey Levin?
Yes.
I don't know enough
about
it. You're
up on all of this.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I took a week off. I don't know anything that happened.
You just gave me a lot that happened.
Well, that was before my vacation that this happened.
Oh, okay.
So, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
so they won't be airing that portion then.
I think they are.
Hell with the lawsuit. There's no lawsuits. You're going to air that.
Well, they put it in the preview at least, them shutting down the whole production. They put it in the preview.
Yeah.
Damn. All right.
Sex.
It's amazing. We have enough drops to fill what's in Brian's head. We can now audibilize your thoughts because we have
Oh, really?
Enough drops to do that.
You think?
Salami
and cheese, mama.
I don't know what that's from. Does anybody know what that's from?
Salami cheese, mama.
Sex. I don't know what that's from at all. All right. Moving on.
All right. Let me get this woman off my computer. Damn. Girl got pretty little.
So Bryce Harper slipped on first base and has a bone bruise and is out for a while.
He's lucky. That's all he has.
Yeah.
That was ugly looking.
It was ugly looking. But now there's like some sort of... I don't know what word I want to use here, a movement towards changing. You know, Scott Boras comes out, we have to make the bases safer for the players. Like, this isn't some sort of freak accident. It's a base. It got wet. He stepped in the middle of it, and he slipped.
Right.
That's what happened.
You usually don't step in the middle of it.
Right.
You step on the edges.
He happened to step on the top of it, and it was wet.
It was a freak accident.
I mean, you don't get rid of all the stairs in the world because someone fell down a flight of stairs.
No need to call your mom and boyfriend.
I mean,
okay?
Look at how dangerous these steps are. We've got to do something about this, one after another. Look at all the opportunities for injury.
He's protected his investment. That's just overblown. No one steps in the middle of the base. No one does it. He happened to do that, and yes, his foot gave away because there was moisture. It was a 3-hour rain delay the game. Chill out.
I got an idea. Get a towel if you're a part of the grounds crew and wipe off the top of the base after maybe that. Maybe that's what you could do. Just a little. Oh, look, it's dry now.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Come on. That's not the first wet base that's been involved in a baseball game. You just don't step in the middle of it.
I kid you not. Driving in, flipping around, different shows that are live, some on tape. Someone was actually suggesting that they get rid of bases now altogether in baseball because of this.
Just go to a spot.
How? Over this?
Yes.
Why can't we just call something what it is? And I understand, all right, you don't want to talk about race because you're scared of that.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about Ezekiel Elliott because you're scared of that and it happened a couple days ago. All right, can you do something better than get rid of bases? What? Golly.
Now that's an overreach.
Get rid. I mean, I just, there's so many things that happen in sports where talk shows grab a hold of it. And I'm sure, I don't want to sound totally hypocritical, because I'm sure we've done it at some point. But I try to avoid these things the best I can and have some sort of self-awareness. But sports talk shows grab a hold of it because there's nothing else going on and make a bigger deal out of it than what it is. Like, we have to change the All-Star game. We've got to change the Pro Bowl. We've got to change this, change that, rule change this.
You're overcorrect. Yeah.
Shut up. And now you got Bryce Harper slipping on a base, and we got to change baseball for Scott Boras is piping up over this. He slipped on a base.
You should be ashamed.
It was a wet base. He slipped on it. Get over it now.
Get rid of the balls, too.
Will you get over it?
Because if he hadn't hit the ball, he wouldn't have had to run. Get rid of that, too.
Good. Now this happened. We gotta get rid of this. Freak things happen.
Yeah,
they do. They happen.
Chalk it up to that. That's
it. Oh man.
Yep.
All right. That annoyed me.
Chalk it up to the dust and let the rain settle it.
Right, that annoyed
me. Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There's a video out there of two skivats who are on a subway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the classic thing. It's another thing I yell about, where it says Yankee fans have sex on subway.
Mm-hmm.
Where really it's just two low class balloon heads who have sex on subway, right? Like, just because
sex.
Like, I don't know why I'm defending the Yankees and their fans at this point. I don't do a lot of that.
No, you don't.
But I can't stand when it's like, you know, fight between Bengals fans or, you know, Alabama fan does this. Like, no, it's an idiot who did that. Don't define them by the team that they root for. It's not fair to the team. So there's a video out there of, I mean, I very rarely sit when I ride on the subway.
very rarely take the subway these days. But I'm never touching anything. I never touch anything if I can avoid it. But now this really cements it. Because this video has got the male Yankee fan sitting down.
Yep.
The female Yankee fan on top of
She's
male,
sitting too.
Yeah, the Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. And they're doing their thing.
Yep.
And then in the background, you see the sleeping people that are there.
The game warm out.
Right, that may or may not have a home. I don't know. I don't want to judge. But so you've got all this going on. And then nobody cares. One person filming it, but the rest of the car just doesn't care about this.
Welcome to New York. Only in New York where they don't care.
I know. I mean, it's just so disgusting. She's got, you know what's even more disgusting? She's got her bare feet out, which really grosses me out, that her bare feet are touching the floor, which has got every strand of hepatitis.
Only in New York, people are just going about their business.
Sex. He's just, and they look exactly like two people that would go to a Yankee game. So I will say that.
You know? He didn't want to kiss her afterwards. You see, he turned his head. Oh, he didn't kiss her.
She probably had like the looks of her.
Don't kiss me.
Excuse me.
Probably having a ball at the game, eating, drinking. But it's just remarkable. And there was just recently, maybe it's something about this city. It was at City Field. There were two people in the bathroom.
My goodness.
Just recently?
Yeah. What? And you got to be really drunk. These are disgusting places to have sex. They are. I'm all for spontaneity, having fun, switching things up. But the subway and a bathroom?
Holy! Spontaneity, switching things.
Yeah, they are a little different here today. Yeah. But I mean, this.
Different rooms, but in public places, yeah, really?
But no, not just public places, the most disgusting places.
Yes.
Subway.
When the mood hits.
Oh God! You have to be sick in the head.
Baby, can we wait till we get to the house, please?
You really got to be sick in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Damn. Thought I was horny.
Well, you are.
No, I'm good.
You are. You have Ubers take you everywhere. You don't take the subway.
There you go.
Too good for that. Gio and Jones, keep right here, CBS Sports Radio.